Hello and welcome back to Page 94. This is the Paul Foot Award mini-series. Let's find out who is the second of the shortlisted journalists for this year's award.
Page 94, the Private Eye podcast.
I'm Daniel Timms at the Sheffield Tribune.
And what is the story that's brought you to the Paul Foot Awards this year?
We covered a story about Andrew Milne, a solicitor who threatened homeowners with legal action, in some cases extracting over £25,000 out of them.
Okay, now I'm going to say, first of all, there are legal proceedings ongoing at the moment, so yep. We are slightly limited in what we can say.
Yeah. If you're watching and there's a sudden cut, I've said something I shouldn't have said.
There we go. Yeah. So I'll start off by asking you, who is Andrew Milne?
Okay, so Milne is a solicitor, has been qualified for many years, and we came across him when he started sending letters to homeowners in Sheffield. And this happened because he had bought the freeholds to their homes.
Yeah.
So Sheffield is a bit unusual. Normally when people think of leasehold, they think of flats.
Yeah.
But actually in Sheffield, in some areas, over 2/3 of houses are owned leasehold, and another company owns the freehold.
Okay, so it's a company that owns the freehold. It may be an individual, and they're on the much longer. Those are the 999-year leases that when you buy the place, that's what you're actually buying. You're not buying the land it's sitting on.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And normally there might be an element of ground rent. It might be a small sum paid to the freeholder.
Right. So when they were set up, the ground rent was a significant sum of money, maybe £5-6 a year. Yeah. Back then, a lot of money. It's still £5 or £6 a year, essentially worthless. And so one company in Sheffield was flogging a load of them off, and this guy, Andrew Milne, bought them at auction.
Why would you buy several hundred freeholds, as Mr. Milne did?
It's a good question, because we worked out if you did it just as an investment for ground rent, it would take about 30 years to get your money back. But if you own the freehold, you have a legal position of power over someone, or a relationship, perhaps. And people don't really understand the freehold leasehold system completely. And in those leases, there are terms and conditions. And in his letters to some homeowners, Milne said that those had been breached.
Yes, I understand that he would write to people either offering to sell them their own freehold at a fairly high price, or he would say that there was a problem. There might have been some breach of the terms and conditions.
It was actually two letters at the same time to the same people. So they would get both on the doormat, and one would say exactly that: you've breached the terms of your lease. And then he would threaten, in some cases, to take people to the High Court to try to get damages from them. That would include a mock-up of High Court papers with his name versus their name in the High Court. So you can imagine what it was like to receive those. And then on the same day, people would get a letter saying, I'm offering to sell you the freehold for £25,000.
Right. Do you know how many people of the 300-ish freeholds that he bought received those letters?
It's kind of continued to roll as it's gone. We think most people have now. Some of them haven't been as overtly threatening. They've just been an offer to sell, accompanied sometimes by stuff about how no one wants leaseholds anymore. Your house is kind of not really saleable if you don't have the freehold underneath it, which isn't really true.
I can imagine that would be extremely scary, getting a letter saying you're in breach of the terms and you might be taken to the High Court. Have you spoken to some of the people who received those letters?
Yeah, we spoke to several. Most didn't want to go on the record, understandably. One woman, Denise, has now chosen to go on the record. We wrote up her story recently. For her, she's still paying off her legal bills to go through the case. She's on a payment plan. It wiped out her savings. She's paid him just over £26,000 now. I mean, people felt terrified. They felt a lot of stress, you know, when you receive that kind of legal letter.
And they hadn't done anything wrong?
No, they had. I mean, in some cases, there were breaches of the lease. There have been changes to the property.
What kind of things are we talking?
We might be talking about a small porch or a loft extension or, you know, a minor alteration. Within the lease, it's stated that you're supposed to have got the consent of the freeholder to do this.
Okay.
And in some cases, they hadn't. But the issue is, Milne implied that he would be owed damages because of this. But actually, as someone who owns the land, you haven't suffered any kind of loss. You're still entitled to your ground rent year after year. You've still got the same investment. Because someone's improved the value of their property by making a small change, you aren't owed any money. But he implied that he was.
Okay. And several people have paid up £25,000. In some cases, that's their life savings.
Yes. Yeah.
How did Mr. Milne react when, I presume, you went to him for comment?
Very negatively. He said he would pursue us for defamation and malicious communications if we published anything. He did respond to some of our questions, but not quite a lot of the detail that we put to him.
That, I believe, is the same as what he said to Private Eye when Private Eye asked him questions about
yes.
it. I don't know if you recognise these words. The allegations you make are wholly false and simply lies that you have invented. We have instructed leading counsel and will shortly be pursuing a claim.
A variant of that, yeah, something similar. Yeah.
Okay. So normally I would ask people who are on the shortlist what legal challenges came up along the way. It sounds like that was the principal problem.
Yes, it was a big problem. We knew that there was a credible threat of legal action. He's a solicitor. We took an extra week on the story. We made sure we got lots of letters. We took more advice from property solicitors. We really knew that we thought there were issues with his letters, and then we were confident to publish.
What happened next?
There was a big reaction within Sheffield and beyond, particularly among solicitors, actually, who were sort of quite concerned that a solicitor was acting in this way. We then thought, well, we should probably try and take this story national. It's really important. So at that point, I actually got in touch with your good selves at the Eye, and I thought this is the kind of story you guys would suit you really well. So I spoke to Rachel Clay, your housing editor, and she commissioned me to write the first piece in the Eye about it, which many of your readers will have encountered Milne there.
Yeah.
And then that's obviously been followed up.
And it's made it to the House of Commons, the story?
Yes, that's right. Both Olivia Blake MP in Sheffield Hallam, where a lot of our properties are, and Phil Brickell, who's an MP in Bolton West, got in touch. So after we'd spoken to homeowners, and I should note this is a sort of joint application, joint submission, so my colleagues Dan Hayes and Molly Simpson spoke to lots of homeowners in Sheffield. People got in touch with us from other places where Milne had previously sent letters to leaseholders. So Bolton was one. My colleague Jack Walton followed that story. Horwich was another. My colleague Abby Wistons followed that story. We have sister titles in different cities, so we were able to follow that up.
There is an organisation called the Solicitors Regulatory Authority, is that right? The
That's
SRA?
Right, yeah, the SRA, yeah.
Where were they in all this?
Absent. They had heard about Milne many years prior, at least 2018. We know they'd heard about Milne in connection with other matters. He had taken out a sort of injunction against them. They'd backed down
against his own regulatory authority.
Well, he made various complaints about them, including not having been awarded a solicitor of the month and sort of things like this.
Right.
So that sort of appeared to have led to them sort of stepping back. Which was a huge problem because they're there to, you know, protect people who use solicitors, and they themselves seemed unable to deal with threats they'd received.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we've said either in the Eye, I mean, I don't know if you wrote this, that there are 800 people at the SRA.
Yes, many of whom are solicitors, yeah.
Yeah. Has anything changed about the state of Mr. Milne's license to practice?
Yes, he now has to have permission or work under someone else. So he's more limited in what he can do as a solicitor. Yeah.
But he is still trading?
Yes. Yeah.
How was the editorial support on this story? I'm always interested in that because, you know, whenever you talk to a reporter, they say, ah, yes, I was working with editors on this. And, you know, it's kind of an overlooked bit of the process.
Yeah, great. I mean, we have a good team. We've got Cameron Barr from the Washington Post has now joined us as one of our investigations editors. So, yeah, it was really helpful. We double-checked, triple-checked everything. We did know we were taking a bit of a risk, but yeah. I think our view is that a lot of local news has become quite cautious and doesn't really take these risks and does back down in the face of threats, and we didn't want to do that.
Is that a resource thing that local news is sometimes doing that, do you think? Or
yeah, for sure. I mean, resources have been hit, and court cases are, of course, incredibly expensive. If you fight them, even if it's totally baseless, you still have to go through a lot. Our sister title in London's just had to deal with one of these, and we spent you know, tens of thousands of pounds on a completely baseless legal claim. So
I'm very interested in the structure. You say you've got these sister organisations around the country. Does that help spread the risk, as it were?
Possibly, yeah. We have slightly deeper pockets, I don't know, with one organisation. So yeah, I suppose it does. But it was helpful in this story because the follow-up that we wanted to do after we published was we also wanted to find Andrew Milne. Because he hadn't answered several of our questions. And in particular, you know, we asked, yeah, how do you feel about how people have been made to feel by your letters? And what would you like to say to them? Mm. We then heard from various people. We heard one address that he had in London. We went there. No one really knew the guy. The address he was sending his letters from was a pub in North Wales, which we almost thought must be some sort of false address or something. It seemed kind of strange, but sure enough, I went there and it's this sort of derelict pub. It's been closed for at least 10 years. It still has its 0 out of 5 food hygiene certificate in the window. Okay. I spoke to people in local shops and they said, yeah, he does turn up occasionally and like just moves a load of furniture in. And every now and then he'll buy a shirt in the charity shop and so on. Then we heard his main address was on the Wirral. So we went there with my colleagues from Liverpool. We'd seen him the night before, his car outside the drive. He'd left by the next morning. So we thought, oh, he's probably gone to London. But then I thought, well, he might have just gone to his Welsh pub. So I called up people in the village and they were like, yeah, he's here. So we went over to Wales.
Yeah.
He was inside. There was one light on. He wouldn't come to the door. We knocked and knocked. However, he then had a date in court for an unrelated case in Stratford, East London. So I went down there and waited outside and I finally got to ask him some questions, which he didn't answer.
Okay, there we go.
We went for a nice walk through the Stratford shopping centre together.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice to hear.
Yeah.
I guess we'll be hearing more about the story soon.
Sure.
Once the legal proceedings allow.
Indeed.
Well, it's a fantastic story. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
So that's it for today's Shortlist Eat. We'll be back with another one tomorrow. We'll see you then.